Welcome everybody to the Fantasy Casting Agency, the fortnightly podcast where we talk reboot, remake, sequel, prequel or adaptation of our favourite pop culture properties. Hi, I'm Ron and I'm your host, and joining me today is the non-fan, non-boy, Ying to my Yang, Martine.
Hi Ron, thank you very much for having me, and it's been a few weeks since I've been on the podcast, so...
What is going on here?
Hopefully we'll enjoy speaking about our movie today, which will be Hogan's Heroes.
Correct. This will be the first in a series that we're going to do based on the television shows we grew up with back in the 70s and 80s when we only had three channels plus the ABC, and we watched constant repeats of shows such as Bewitched, Get Smart,
I Dream of Jeannie, Hogan's Heroes, which is still going today,
which is still
available.
It's still being broadcast today on a number of channels. MASH used
and
to be
available
another one.
From JB Hi-Fi on DVD.
Yeah, and Blankety Blanks, and there was a whole lot of shows that we used to watch over and over again, repeat after repeat after repeat, but that's what we grew up with, and that's what we used to watch. So this will be the first of a series that we do based on those television programs, and Hogan's Heroes is the first one of choice. Now, Hogan's Heroes, when I was a young fella, was a show that I didn't really like that much to start with, but as I actually figured out what was going on and actually started to understand the stories, like, my father was a huge fan of Hogan's Heroes, still is, he's got them all on DVD and still watches them today, I got interested, and I actually really love the show and really enjoy it. And we watched a couple of episodes before the podcast, Marty, so
sure.
Did that bring back fond memories?
Oh, I did, and just hearing that music, you know, that da 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 da. It's just something that you instantly recognise.
It is, and it's a unique piece of music, and it's actually a fun watch as well. One of the reasons that we're also bringing up Hogan's Heroes as the first one is the fact that they are looking at doing a movie.
Now, you've done a fair bit of research into this run already, so are you happy to sort of share, I guess, just a bit of the background on, I guess, the actual making of the TV series itself, and some of the behind-the-scenes things that have been happening with the Bing Crosby production unit in relation to access to the TV show and the production rights for a potential movie.
So basically there were some legal issues when it initially got created, because it was based off the stage play at the time, Starlink 17, which has since become a movie. And what the judge said when deliberating on that case was that given that this was sort of like a farce and taken in good spirits, whereas Starlight 17 was a very dark play, there was no link. So that's how the show actually got past its first legal battle. Since it's gone off air, it's gone into syndication, which means it's available on all channels all the way around the world, and has been going since it was first aired back in the 1960s. So 1965 to 1971 was the six production years, or the six seasons were. So that was the history of that, and like, we got it into Australia I've watched it since the mid 70s when I was a young tacker, up in all the way through the 80s, so all through high school, which gets me up to 1990. So it was a staple of my viewing week. That, and sort of shows like MASH and Get Smart, were the fare that we watched every day. And you watched, even though there's 168 episodes, when you're watching it every day of every week, there's 52 weeks, five episodes, you're going to see the season, you know, over and over and over again. So that was my experience watching it. Back in 2000, 2001, Brian Grazer, who was a producer of Beautiful Mind, actually tried to get the rights to Hogan's Heroes because he wanted to do a movie of it, and was in talks with Russell Crowe to star as Hogan. And I'll put up a couple of the links onto the Facebook site where people can read a couple of articles. Basically, Russell Crowe was approached. He hadn't agreed to anything, but was interested in the time. That was 13 years ago, though. Since then, though, that's initiated is a 10-year legal battle. Last year, the Writers Guild of America actually got involved and to facilitate arbitration. Currently, when this was originally written, the TV rights were actually sold to Bing Crosby Productions, and Bing Crosby Productions wanted to retain the movie rights. And so this had to go to arbitration based on that sort of thing. And the WGA had to get involved to help assist get that to go to arbitration rather than become a legal battle,
sure.
Rather than going to court. So they went into bat for the writers, who are Bernard Fain and Albert Ruddy. And in March this year, they actually won the case. So the movie rights have now reverted across to Ruddy and Fain. And a movie adaptation is being written. So it is timely to start talking about potential casting of a Hogan's Heroes movie. Your thoughts, darling?
So I guess in a nutshell, we need to sort of think about, I guess, what tax they would take in putting a movie of this together. Like, obviously, in the series, it didn't necessarily run in a concurrent episode-to-episode type system. They were all sort of individual. So even now, you could go back and watch an individual episode and, you know, I guess still get the gist of what's going on and the major role players. And I guess the comedic relationship that evolves between some of the key characters. So in looking at a movie, I think we need to sort of think about the approach for the production of a movie and how that might sort of fit in terms of the characters that we might select to be part of it, and then more importantly, the actors that we'd like to see playing those roles. So I guess there's a couple of things that we need to sort of clear up before we get into the actor selections, and that's whether or not we go for a younger cast or an older cast. In the actual initial series, I think you've got some fairly solid opinions on this run. Like, the cast itself wasn't actually young.
Yeah, well, but a lot of the criticism about the series was that the actors in it were all... they were all in, like, their mid to late 30s and early 40s. So soldiers of the day were in their early to mid-20s. So the reality aspect of it wasn't there, which is fine because it's, you know, a bit of a takeoff. But one of the things that they could do if they were to revisit Hogan's Heroes is actually have, like, an older, late 20s, early 30s-something Hogan, but then have a young cast that would bring new viewers and new interest into it, yeah, with lots of nods back to the original. So I think that's one approach to take. The other approach to take is a straight adaptation where you actually use the age of those main characters. And the justification for it is that they're going to be there for a number of years organising this way station for escaped prisoners and downed pilots. So you want to put your older, more experienced, trained operatives in there. So that would justify just that core cast being that slightly older group, with those around them being quite young. And you have all the pilots come through as young actors with these experienced guys looking after them. So you could do it either way there. I would actually prefer to see a younger cast, mainly because it's more a little bit more realistic, and you could actually bring in young fans who could identify with those characters more.
Sure, but I think at some point, though, you need to have a little bit of an older cast link back to the original series, given that, you know, people in the 40 and 50-year-old category at the moment would have grown up with this TV series. If you can get some of those people back through the doors, it also creates a bit of a generational link between, you know, some of the, I guess, the middle-age type group, and also in terms of youth. So, you know, that could be done through, I guess, the role of Hogan, if that was someone a little bit older, but also the role of Colonel Klink and Schultz, potentially.
Hochstetter, Burkhalter,
yeah,
they're all designed for slightly older actors.
Yeah.
So I think that's where we get, like, our peers in there, and then obviously the rest of the supporting cast is where you get these young people in. So I think age of the cast is one of the things that we discussed. So we're going to give our options. We're actually going to go with the younger cast option, but we'll also throw out there who we would have considered if we had gone to the older cast. The other thing we also needed to look at was the approach we're going to take to this movie, because there's actually three approaches you could take. The first one is the high farce that this sort of was back in the 60s, sort of that tongue-in-cheek, fun type of show. I think that's one of the options you could take and would be true to the original series. What are your thoughts?
Oh, absolutely. I think if we actually moved away from that, it takes away the link back to the original Hogan's Heroes. And in some way, you want to be looking at this movie adaptation as a bit of a reflection on that series. And the comedic banter between some of the characters was fabulous going back in the day. And I think if you turned it around and made it too serious, there's a I would actually think that there's a bit of a chance that you would lose that connection.
you'd also end up with a movie more like Starlight 17, and if that's what you really wanted. And that's some of the criticism when they started talking about Hogan's Heroes as a more aggressive or a darker period piece. You may as well remake Starlight 17, which is what this was based on.
Yeah, or looking even towards The Great Escape for a little bit of a combination of both of those.
Yeah, well, that's your sort of boy's own adventure type thing. And once again, if you're going to go down that approach, then The Great Escape is actually a great movie that probably will...
Has some iconic scenes in it?
It has some iconic scenes, iconic actors in it. But that was a great ensemble piece, which, once again, is probably one we'll investigate with another fan cast of, because, you know, I love that movie and have watched it a number of times. I'd actually be keen to look at the casting of that one in a future episode. But we're not here to talk that. We're here to talk Hogan's Heroes. Back to the Hogan's Heroes. One of the other pieces of controversy to do with Hogan's Heroes is after it did air, there was a lot of criticism about its take on concentration camps and the fact that it didn't take concentration camps in World War II. And this isn't a concentration camp for a start. It's a prisoner of war camp. But that it didn't take all that sort of thing seriously. And quite frankly, it didn't. But that was the whole point. It sort of took the piss, really.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, sometimes that's how you deal with those sort of horrific situations. You deal with it with humour. So there was a lot of criticism post that, but I think one of the things I found in my investigation that people should be aware of is that our main four actors who played the Germans in Klink, Schultz...
Hochstetter
and...
Balcom.
General Balcarter.
Yep.
All of them were Jewish actors. All of them had escaped Europe to escape this.
Robert Clary.
And also, Robert Clary, who played LeBeau...
That's the little French character?
He is. He was also Jewish and actually spent 3 years in a concentration camp. So the fact that those guys could get involved and not feel aggrieved or put out, I think that means, you know, PC police can sort of pull their heads back in on this one. Because if they can do it, and they lived through it, and they experienced it firsthand, and they didn't see that there was anything wrong with it, they didn't campaign against it, I think we should sort of go with their opinion and how they felt, and just take it as what it is. It was a fun show back in the day. It meant to take the mickey out of the Germans, which it did constantly, and in the Germans in relation to their involvement in World War II. And it was just a bit of a laugh and an interesting scenario. So I think if we can sort of take it with that in mind, then I think we can avoid that sort of controversy.
Okay, so if we start thinking about some of the key characters, as you mentioned earlier on, there was 168 episodes of Hogan's Heroes, and there was only actually three characters that played in all of those 168 episodes, and that includes the roles of Hogan himself, played by Bob Crane, Colonel Klink, and Schultz. So they're the three characters, I guess, that we're going to focus and talk fairly extensively on today.
And they were also some of the hardest to cast. So when we were discussing it earlier, coming up with our nominations, it was actually quite hard to cast those because they are iconic characters in an iconic show. The other characters outside of that, sort of, not that anyone could play them, but they're a little bit sort of generic stereotype-type characters. So it's much easier to find examples of actors who can play those roles than it is to these three linchpin roles, all of which were quite unique and brilliantly acted. Just today when we're watching, just watching John Banner as Schultz, he had exquisite comic timing. He was hilarious. Mm. And he made that show. And he was the most famous... Well, not the most famous, but he is one of the most popular characters that came out of that show. And even...
Well, if we think about Werner Klemperer, who played Wilhelm Klink, Colonel Wilhelm Klink, he was a world-renowned actor in his time, like a serious actor. So for him to take a step away from that serious stage and come into a comedic show just shows his wealth of ability as an actor as well.
And he was brilliant in that part. So another, how do you replace him? How do you find a replacement? Zachary Quinto replaced Leonard Nimoy as Spock, so it can be done. We just got to see if we can do it today. And finally, obviously, with Bob Crane as Colonel Hogan, pivotable. It's the starring role. So I think that actually requires, you know, a star to play that role. And obviously, you need that sort of person to get the movie made anyway, because they're going to bring in the dollars.
Absolutely.
So you know where that's going when we start talking about casting. But we'll get to that. So what we'll do is we'll leave those three roles to last. We'll actually start with Hogan's Heroes, and we'll start with his supporting cast. First off, we'll go LeBeau.
Okay, so LeBeau, just to give a little bit of background, was a chef, but was also very skilled with some needle and thread, was a bit of a go-to man for a lot of roles in the actual show.
Yeah, he was basically the costume designer for all their escapades. He got along really well with the dogs.
Yeah.
And the little cockroach, as Schulte used to call him. Yeah, the chef, and he won Schulte over through his cooking. So that's his character in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Bit of a ladies' man as well.
Yeah, no, he was a little cutie. So a couple of the people that I guess we've thrown up as some options from that include Zac Efron, who we thought just had a bit of the look.
When we say let's clarify. One of the options that you threw up was Zac Efron.
Okay, I threw up Zac Efron. Well, not literally, but...
I did a little bit when you mentioned him, but go.
In keeping true to the French background of the show, I found a French actor called...
No. Talk Zac Efron. Why did you pick Zac Efron?
Okay, so my reasoning behind having a look at Zac Efron as an option for the LeBeau character was just, you know, he's obviously, you know, got a little bit of favouritism at the moment. He's easy on the eye as far as the ladies go, and the younger female audience would come along and enjoy his portrayal of that role, I think. He's also got a little bit of fun about him in some of the movies that he's played. New Year's Eve, as an example, you know, he sort of took a little step away from just being, you know, the pretty boy and showed a little bit of depth of character with his connection with Michelle Pfeiffer in that role. But he's also, you know, played some more serious characters, so I think he's got a lot of background that could actually meet, you know, a little bit of serious, but also a little bit of comedic relief.
I just ruled a red line through him because I don't think he fits the role.
Around here, I'm the supreme authority. Nobody tells me what to do.
I think he's too pretty. He's just... To me, he wasn't a great fit. Who I went for initially was Mathieu Amalric, and I'm not sure if I pronounced that correctly. He's a French actor that people most recently would, or people would know, people from the West would most know from Quantum of Solace. He played the main villain there. He is a renowned French actor. He's very much a character actor, and I think he could do the role really well. But his age probably put him out. When we decided we'll go for a younger cast, that sort of took him out, sort of brought Zac Efron in. But we actually went for someone else.
And we found a young French actor, Gaspard Ulliel, who people would know from Hannibal Rising, who played the role of Lecter. Obviously, that sort of keeps true to the French connection. And he will be our final selection for the fantasy casting agency role.
Yeah, he's a young French actor. And if we're going to go a young cast, I think he fits in really well. He's sort of attractive enough to be the little romantic little cutie that LeBeau was. So I think he was a good choice for us, and we liked him, so that he is our final choice for LeBeau.
So one of the other main characters was originally played by Richard Dawson. That's the role of Newkirk.
He's also the scrounger, so he used to get the bits they needed.
Absolutely.
Good on the graft. He was that sort of... Did a lot of the voice work as well, acting as Germans on the phone.
On the phone, yeah, which we heard that today. And we've sort of come up with what people might think is a little bit of an unusual choice for that, but Rupert Grint, who obviously people would know from the Harry Potter series, we just think he's got that, you know, quirky sort of sense about him. It does move away a little bit from
the look of Richard Dawson,
which was, you know, a bit refined and a little bit sort of more mature, but also keeping in theme with having a British actor in the role.
Yeah, we wanted a British actor, and we looked at a number of different people who could potentially play the role. And the good thing, and the thing about Richard Dawson is it's a little bit sort of unique, but he had that sort of, I wouldn't say Cockney charm, because he wasn't Cockney, but that sort of working class English background. So he really had that sort of little bit of nous and a bit of a swagger about him. And, you know, he was a very popular character, and a lot of people really liked him, and he was a standout. So many people in Australia could identify with him. We have a connection to England, and he was sort of our connection into the show. And he was really popular. His sort of character and characterisation was very much true to the Australian spirit, which is why we could identify with him quite a fair bit. And I think we like Rupert Grint. He's actually buffed out a little bit, and I think he could suit sort of the uniform. And you know, it would be interesting to see him in this sort of role and see how he goes.
Absolutely. One of the next characters we looked at was Carter, who was originally played by Larry Hovis.
Yeah, he's a unique-looking cat, Larry Hovis. He played a lot of similar-type roles in movies of the period. His role was basically as the demolitions expert. So he had a lot of mucking around with dynamite and doing all those sort of crazy things and playing with gadgets and that sort of thing. I wouldn't say stupid.
Well, you can always depend on me to foul things up. You'll be better off without me. I'm no good. I'm stupid. Why don't you get rid of him?
A little bit naive, actually. He played naive really well and did all those sort of things. And when I was originally casting myself and looking at an older character, I went Johnny Knoxville. And I went Johnny Knoxville from looking at The Last Stand when he's playing with those sort of guns. You've seen him in a number of sort of movies play the same thing, where he's a little bit naive, but quite creative, and I just thought he would bring in something interesting into the role. But when we decided to go younger, we started looking at some other actors. So one of the ones we looked at, or that you liked, was...
Yeah, I had a look at Lucas Till, who people might know from X-Men and Hannah Montana. And that was just covering off a more youthful character base that we were obviously looking towards.
But who we ultimately went for was Dane DeHaan. He's going to be playing Harry Osborn in Spider-Man 2. It was really well, did a really good job in Chronicle. He was the main character of Chronicle. He was also in Lincoln and Lawless. He's a good character actor. He's got that awkward sort of look about him as well. And I think he could pull off this sort of role. And it's a good little segue for him to get into, you know, to do another type role. He looks the part. He's a really good actor. I really loved Chronicle, and I really loved his portrayal in there. He's going from the light to the dark side as his powers developed, and he's starting to develop his sort of mental illness-y type arrangement, which set him off. And he's starting to get a bit of a profile out there. Being a unique-looking character as well, character roles is where he's going to fit in. I'm very curious to see where he's going to go with being Harry Osborn. In Lawless, he played a gimpy type character, so he's got a good range, and he's a good, I think he'll be a great character actor going forward, and that's what we're looking for in some of these roles, some of those great character actors.
The next role that we're looking at is the role of Sergeant James Kinchlow, who was originally played by Ivan Dixon. Altogether, he was in 141 of the 168 episodes, so he was a key character. Later on, he was replaced by Kenneth Washington in the role of Sergeant Richard Baker, who was in during the early 1970s. So the role of Kinch,
He was the radio man.
So we thought someone who was a little bit quirky might fit this role reasonably well. And Aldous Hodge is probably a favourite of ours for this. He's obviously shown some skills just in how he's played in Leverage with the whole technology. And
yeah, he sort of had that similar role in Leverage where he was sort of the radio man,
yeah,
but with a much amped up with all the gear and gadgets and stuff he had. And he did some great voices as well. So he could do all the voice work of it. It's an interesting role, Kinchner, because being black and in being World War II, he couldn't go out and pretend to be German, so he was pretty much stuck back in home base. So he ended up doing a lot of that sort of contacting, ultimately, Mama Bear, he was Papa Bear, with her call signs. And so he did a lot of that sort of work and voice work as well. And I think Aldous Hodge, our favourite, is perfectly able and capable and the right age to do that role.
And it also get him across into the movie world away from TV now that Leverage has moved on.
Well, that sort of covers off Hogan's Heroes. But you also wanted to talk about the female characters in the show because, quite frankly, they're sort of not.
Yeah, well, in the initial Hogan's Heroes, you were pretty, you know, it was a pretty strong effort to be made to actually find any of the female characters, other than the roles of Hilda and Helga, who were intermittently in the series, but obviously...
Yeah, Hilda was, the first secretary, or the second, then Helga took over. So that was sort of the big boob blonde secretaries that Hogan would flirt with to sort of get his way into the office and and those sort of things. So
yeah, because all up of the 168 episodes, there was only women in about 80 of them with a regular cast. So we've sort of considered here whether or not we need to introduce another female role. And we were thinking of, you know, maybe someone like a Diane Kruger as the leader of the resistance. She's a German actress who people might know from Inglourious Basterds and Troy and also National Treasure. And she could be the link back to the Hogan character.
She'd also be a good representative of, like, Germans today, in that if she's helping them to create a better Germany because she wants a better Germany and Germany to tick over, that will sort of sell it back into Germany. Because this show actually didn't show in Germany until the 1990s when they sort of redubbed it. Mm. And they did that a couple of times to get it in. It actually became quite popular. But the idea of having sort of characters who are German who are more endearing would help us sell that role a bit better. And Diane Kruger is a fantastic actress. Quite pretty, could easily turn Hogan's head, and is the right age to match well with that sort of late 20s, sure, early 30s type character. So I think she was a good choice to be in that sort of role. For Hilda, who was the first blonde actress in there, originally played by Sigrid Valdes, I actually nominated Elizabeth Romm. Romm is a German actress, and she's well known in the TV show Heroes, and she most recently played Talia Burkhalter in The Client List. So clearly she has the pedigree to be in Hogan's Heroes as Hilda, and you know, she's got all the right assets as well to play that role. So that was Elizabeth Romm to play that role. So Diane Kruger and Elizabeth Romm to be the two female leads. And maybe give her a little bit more meatier a role if it sort of can work out that way.
And if any of the fanboys out there want to go and have a look at Elizabeth Romm, she's actually quite easy on the eye, so there would be a little bit of a visual complement to what would seemingly be an almost all-male cast.
Well, Diane's not too bad herself, anybody. So, I think we've covered off the eye candy well and truly there. So the next segment we're obviously going to go to is every show needs some antagonists. And the antagonists for here is obviously going to be General Burkhalter.
My wife is neither delightful or charming.
And Major Huckstetter. General Burkhalter was Klink's commander.
If you don't mind, I'll blow your horn. Once you don't have to do it yourself.
He was the more intelligent of the Germans in here, and was often the foil to everybody else. Whereas Major Huckstetter was leader of the SS, the local SS. A little bit gullible, a little bit stupid, very much the Heil Hitler type guy. And he was easily turned around on those sort of things. So for General Burkhalter, we actually only considered one person, and it's one person that we really liked for the role.
The person that we've picked for that role was Robbie Coltrane. He's got the look, he's sort of a pretty popular British comedian, so having someone in the farcical version of Hogan's Heroes, he'd fit in brilliantly with that. It also keeps the link back to the Harry Potter, with the connection to Rupert Grint as well.
Yeah, I think that's sort of a little bit of a tick to the fanboys to see those two in the same movie playing sort of opposite each other. I think that's actually quite clever. Well done, darling. He was also in Ocean's 12. And in Ocean's 12, he had the foreign accent, and they did the whole thing, the skit with Matt Damon as well. So we know he can put on an accent. He's got the physical look about him, and he could be the sort of straight man bouncing off a few Klinks and Schultz and Hogans and Hochstetters. For Hochstetters, we had a few different people we considered for the role. The person I nominated was Stanley Tucci, a personal favourite of mine. He could definitely play the villainous aspect of it, and if you wanted to have a real villain of the piece, I think Hochstetter is the man. And Stanley Tucci, for me, is, he can play anything and anyone. So we actually liked him for it, and I nominated him. But then having watched the show again today, we had a different idea that sort of jumped out at us, and we thought, maybe he's the guy.
In thinking about that, we've come up with Jason Alexander, who people might know from the TV series Seinfeld. Just has that comedic a look about him. He's obviously, you know, been around in a number of other shows since his early days in Seinfeld. So, yeah, and can also look a little bit evil. And if you have a look at the podcast post from Fantasy Casting Agency, the picture of Jason Alexander, it's almost a little bit devilish, isn't it?
And it is. And he's sort of... We know he can do the voices because he played Boris in the Rocky and Bullwinkle movie. But when we watched Hochstetter in that episode today, it really... It's like channeling Jason Alexander, and that's why it jumped out as it, because I hadn't actually considered him at all. I was locked in on Stanley Tucci, but watching the way Howard Kane played him today, I saw Jason Alexander just straight away in that role, and he can play that sort of role really, really well. So that's why I actually got convinced for Jason Alexander. So he was our pick for Hochstetter. So there you go, there's the two antagonists, Robbie Coltrane and Jason Alexander as General Bolcolter and Major Hochstetter. So now we come to the main roles here. And I think for this to work, these three lead actors need to work well together.
There needs to be good rapport.
Good
that
to
comes
rapport
across on screen.
And it needs to connect and it needs to work really, really well.
Yeah.
So when we speak of them, we need to sort of speak of them like as a trimultive sort of thing. We bounced around a lot of people for these roles. And we'll go with Schultz first, because Schultz is sort of a unique looking cat. He's sort of that bit older, a bit bigger, and he's going to be really, really, really hard to cast. And for any actor to step into that role, because he was the heart of the show. He was the one that everyone sort of felt for, and
everyone
all loved Schultz.
Him. Yeah.
And he didn't have a mean bone in his body. He it wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer.
But I think that came from the fact that he trusted everyone. He just wanted to think the good in everyone. You know, but as we said earlier, having watched a couple of episodes today, just the clarity and the appropriateness of when he was delivering his lines was just brilliant.
Yeah, his comic timing's brilliant. And, like, his character was actually used to own a toy shop. So he was a big kid that loved kids and loved all people. And then now he's had to be a soldier in a prisoner of war camp. It didn't suit him or suit the personality of the character as well. So
I'm in very bad health. My head, my back, my heart. A bullet in any one of those places could be fatal.
Really love Schultz, love the character, and I think, you know, everybody sort of did. So finding someone to play that role, we jumped around quite a bit. You want to go with a couple of the other options that you like?
Yeah, sure. A couple of the people I've put forward, people would know Kevin James, the movie Hitch. And also in the role in King of Queens.
Yeah, he's most well known for King of Queens. Yeah.
Yep. But he's a fantastic character actor. He's got a little bit of the look of Schultz, and I hope that doesn't offend anyone, but, you know, he's a little bit on the larger size, but he's got the face, and he's proven in the past that he's very quick and quirky with his line delivery.
Yeah, Kevin James seems to be a popular choice. I know Nath is a real big fan of Kevin James as well.
And that's Nath from... The Watcher podcast?
Yeah, it's Nathan Watcher, also Animation Nation, who I've just did a couple episodes back-to-back with. So he really likes Kevin James as well. I just think he's a little bit too young for the role.
Possibly. But that might also make it a little bit naive. You know, maybe a more youthful guard, you know, in covering the Hogan and his hero group, you know, would... If they are a little bit younger, then there's more likelihood that they would be a little bit more naive and not as worldly as someone who's been in that sort of system.
And it could be
a
point of difference from the original Schultz character.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I sort of don't really like that idea. But you had someone else as well?
Yeah. I had Billy Gardell, who would be known from the Mike and Molly TV series. Once again, another comedic actor. Who would have a bit of fun with that role as well, I think. I think he has the ability to lighten up a serious moment, but would also look fantastic in that German outfit, I think, as well.
Yeah, he's got the size and he's got the presence, I think, that Schultz has. Once again, I'm a little bit concerned about his age, but as we said, that could be a point of difference. I probably like Billy more than Kevin, of those two guys. The person I actually nominated... through IMBD was Horst Krauss. Horst Krauss is an East German actor, so he played in a police series, and I can't pronounce the name, so I'm not going to try. But he played in a police series in East Germany before the wall came down. Been going on for like over 20 years. He was 23 when he joined the cast, and he's still in there today.
Wow.
So that was originally...
It's almost like a Neighbours TV series, isn't it?
It sort of is, but it was like their version of CSI.
Yep.
Originally focusing on all sorts of different cases and different actors doing the different the criminal things there. Later, when the wall came down and it all sort of merged a little bit, it came more about dealing with murders and homicide and got a little bit more a little bit upmarket. But he played that role. He played the role of like a street cop. He was also in an English language movie called Schultz Gets the Blues. His English isn't very good, so maybe it doesn't work, but the fact that he's already played Schultz means he could fit in very well, and he's the right age, the right size, and the right look to play Schultz. But ultimately, we agreed on someone else who we think has the comedic timing and the look.
Absolutely,
Marty.
And I think that this would be the standout contestant for the role of Schultz. And that's John Goodman. I don't think anyone could question his comedic ability and his sense of timing and his role options that he's had throughout his career as well.
Be interesting to see him put on a German accent and see how he goes with that. But I really like John Goodman. He's had a bit of a career break there when he was sort of a little bit unhealthy, but he's sort of getting back into the picture. He was being recently in Flight and Argo. And when we had a look today, just to see how he's travelling, he's actually looking a little bit more slender and a little bit, as slender as John Goodman can be, but he's actually looking a lot healthier. So I think he's, ready and able and willing to work, and I think he could be a great Schultz. And I think fans would accept him in that role because there's a lot of love out there for John Goodman.
Yeah. And I think also with the age, like that would sort of lend itself to having someone who is a little bit more mature in the role. Sort of ties back into people, of our generation, the people in their sort of late 30s and 40s, and it sort of does give someone a fantastic quality for the characters of both Hogan and Clint to bounce off as well.
Yeah, and I think he could do it really, really well. Speaking of Hogan and Clint, we almost agreed to disagree when it came to Clink, and I overruled a couple of your options, but do you want to share with the fans a couple of the people you nominated?
Yeah, coming in.
Just in having a look at the pictures of Werner Klemperer, who was the original cast member in Hogan's Heroes of the role of Clink, I've come up with Robert Duvall. I just think if I look at a picture of Werner back in his younger days, it's just a Robert Duvall incarnation. But also we've sort of thought about maybe the Stanley Tucci as an option for that as well.
Yeah, when we sort of took him out of the Hofstetter role, he could do the Clink role. And I'm a huge fan, so I was always going to support that idea. So, no, Stanley Tucci could and would do great in that job. Robert Duvall, I feel, is a little bit too old, which is sort of why I vetoed him.
Yep, I understand.
10 or 15 years ago, he'd have killed it. But, nah. Robert Duvall, a little bit too old for me. I went for someone who you're not a huge fan of, but I went...
Let's not rush into this, Ron.
I went for Casanova Frankenstein himself, Jeffrey Rush. He can put on the accent. He did that with Casanova. He is a brilliant character actor. He's got the look. He's the right age. He's, quite... crazy, he's a Oscar winning.
He's a bit of left of centre, isn't
he? And the fact that he played Casanova Frankenstein means he is prepared to take on different roles and different
Absolutely.
Things. So he could easily pick up the Clink role. That sort of calibre actor could nail it, or would nail it, and will nail it, which is why I went with Jeffrey Rush and then said he's the man. So he's the man.
At the end of the conversation, you forgot to say Heil Hitler.
Fair enough. So the last, and I guess from our perspective, the most major of the characters in the show is actually Hogan himself.
Hogan?
Who was initially played by Bob Crane, and brilliantly done. I guess not as comedic as a lot of the actors necessarily always come out with one-liners, the way as Schultz did, but definitely had a fantastic rapport with all of the characters throughout the show.
He was sort of the straight man for everyone else to bounce off.
Sure.
And that takes a unique talent, and Bob Crane nailed it. A couple of the people that I considered for the role. If you were going to go a little bit more serious, I would have picked like Leonardo, and I think that's who I put up on IMDb. But obviously I'll be changing that because we've picked someone else who we think is a lot better. But also Greg Kinnear, who played Bob Kane in Autofocus.
Yeah.
Really sort of nailed that characterization. And the people who don't know Autofocus, Autofocus is the biopic based on Bob Kane, who died in mysterious circumstances. He had a real porn fetish, Bob Kane, so they sort of focused a little bit on that. And really interesting movie. It was really interesting insight into the character of Bob Kane, who then became Hogan.
Yeah.
And it sort of focused on that sort of period. So there's plenty of pictures of Greg Kinnear in the outfit. This movie was like back in 2002. So... yeah,
and Greg's a fantastic actor as well. Like, he's played a range of roles. He's not necessarily a jump-out lead actor, you know. He's not going to be in the same calibre as like a Brad Pitt or a Clooney, but he's definitely, you know, can hold his own.
And I think people could accept him as Hogan, having done Autofocus, but I also think sort of time has sort of got away from him a little bit now. He's sort of a little in that older bracket. And also, Greg Kinnear played Captain Amazing in Mystery Man and really bounced off Geoffrey Rush, who played Casanova Frankenstein. So they sort of have a connection as well, and they sort of worked really well together on that movie.
Sure.
So could they do it again? I think they could easily. I think if we had gone back in time and grabbed him from that period, then definitely Greg Kinnear could have done that role. A couple of the people I said no to, absolutely. Adam Sandler and Ben Stiller. When we started discussing this, we just discussed that it was going to be sort of comedic role, so you needed to have someone who has that sort of comedic timing, who was a good sort of character actor slash star slash plays that farce and campy style. Those guys don't do that very well. I didn't like the Ben Stiller remake of Starsky and Hutch. I thought that became a little bit too far-fetched and real tongue-in-cheek. I also don't like a lot of Adam Sandler's work, but he can be a little bit over the top and get a little bit stupid. I think if you go down that path with this, it's going to become another Starsky and Hutch type movie, which I didn't like. I would like this to be more, you know, a little bit more
of a reflection of the
of the TV series. So a little bit sort of a better quality type movie than that. So that's why I sort of didn't like those guys, who they're the right age, sort of.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit too old now. But I think, you know, you needed to bring it back to someone who could sort of do the serious side of it as well.
So I actually threw up a couple of people that got quashed fairly on in the discussion. One of them was Patrick Dempsey, and also Eric McCormack, who people might know from Will and Grace. I guess both of them, I think, could do it. Patrick Dempsey's got the star power. Eric McCormack, probably not to the same degree, but he's played, obviously, in a serious type role in a comedy, so would have the capacity to do it as well, but maybe a little bit on the old side now.
Yeah, Eric's starting to get a little bit... No, not really, because they can young him down, as like we discussed earlier, but I just don't think he has the star power to pull it off.
Sure.
Because I think you need to have, in that... as we discussed earlier, those three key roles, key characters, they sort of need to be well-known names that people identify with and really like. He's not really well-known anymore. Yeah, he was great during Will and Grace, but I couldn't tell you what he's doing now, and I think his moment has gone. Patrick Dempsey sort of came back into flavour with Grey's Anatomy. Yeah, he's got the look. He'd be fine in the role. He could do the role. But he doesn't bring the star power that I think we need for the role.
Yeah. So, in the nutshell, though, I guess one of our favourites...
we nominate him almost every episode.
So we desperately want this bloke to be in some more movies. But Nathan Fillion is our selection as the role of Colonel Robert E. Hogan in the remake of Hogan's Heroes.
So, for those who don't know, Nathan Fillion's from Castle. That's his most recent TV series. He did Firefly and Serenity before that, so he's got that sort of link with J.J. Abrams. He also plays Captain Hammer in Dr. Horrible, Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog, and does a really good job. He's actually slimmed down quite a bit over the past couple of years. He sort of bloated up a little bit during Castle, but we've noticed that he'd slimmed down. And when you actually watch Dr. Horrible's video Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog. He is in that, sings a couple of songs, but he plays a superhero, and you can see that he's actually dropped quite a bit of weight from where he was a couple of years ago. And we kept saying, well, what is it that he's sort of losing the weight for? So, you know, maybe it's not Hogan's Heroes. Hopefully it's Green Lantern or something along those lines. But, yeah, Nathan Fillion, I think, could pull off Hogan. He's got the comedic timing. He does that really well. He comes across as a bit of a leader and a mentor. He can do that side of it. And he could really bounce off some really quality actors, such as Jeffrey Rush and John Goodman, in those three key roles. So while we nominate him for everything, and I'm going to nominate him again for a couple of other things down the track, I've already earmarked him, he is that good an actor, and I think he's got that sort of presence. He's of his generation in that age group for the qualities that he has. For these sort of movies, I actually think he's perfect.
Yep, I couldn't agree more with you there, Ron.
Yeah, well, you're a huge
fan. I'm a bit of a Castle fan, sure.
Yeah, so, but there you go, that's our Hogan's Heroes cast, and I'll put up a final cast album so people can see who we chose, with some lovely little graphics there.
And one of the things we'd like to offer or to put out there is that if anyone's sort of got any suggestions that they'd like to think about for these type of movies as well, we'd welcome your comment at Fantasy Casting Agency. And the Fantasy Casting Agency is available on Facebook. If you just go into Facebook and look up Fantasy Casting Agency, you'll find a wealth of information about potential movies that we'd like to see either remade, rebooted, sequeled or prequeled or adapted in the future. So thanks so much for having me today, Ron. It's been a pleasure hanging out with you again for a couple of episodes of Hogan's Heroes and for this podcast, and I look forward to seeing you in a few weeks' time.
Yes, next episode we're actually getting Mike from Watcher in. He's our resident Batman expert, and we're going to be talking all things Batman with a new Man of Steel movie coming out. That should be is going to be an interesting to see where they go with that, with the potential to leading into the Justice League movie. So next episode is going to be all things Batman, and then we're going to come back and have a look at I Dream of Jeannie, another one of our classic TV series from the late 60s and 70s, which we grew up through all the 70s and 80s through the repeat after repeat after repeat after repeat after repeat.
And while Ron's in the function of being a repeat, some people might have seen Barbara Eden at the recent Supernova extravaganza here in Melbourne. And also, do yourself a favour and get out and see Iron Man 3 if you haven't done so already. Fabulous film.
Thank you, darling. Thank you, ball boys.
Stop, boss.
Stop. And me, your pod news. No, we already did that, Mike. Bye, all.
This podcast was brought to you by the Big Top Network.